It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth, and today we are talking about ski jumping. Why are we talking about ski jumping in August when it's like sunny and warm and blue skies? It's because Anchorage has, as of the last couple of years, this amazing Carl Ide ski jumping facility, which functions winter and summer. And in the summertime, kids and adults are skiing down these huge jumps and on water. And I came out to sort of see what this is all about and talk to some of the people who ran it, who got it built, and who are, you know, making it happen all year round, and who are presumably creating our Olympic athletes, and also doing, just having kids have a lot of fun doing something pretty adventurous. So that's our topic on Outdoor Explorer today. And right now, I'm talking to Karen Compton, who is kind of the, would you say you're the mother of this ski jump? I mean, you've put a lot of work into this, right?
Yeah, I have. I've been involved for about 8 years now, and I guess my title is program director, but I do feel a little bit like the mother of all of these little kids and my own two sons who do ski jumping.
So how did you get in? I mean, what made ski jumping become something you really wanted to be involved in?
I had no knowledge of ski jumping. I didn't even know there were jumps here when I was registering my boys when they were little for Junior Nordic online. And there was a little check box on the online registration that said, click here if you want to know more about ski jumping. And I thought, well, ski jumping?
Sure, who doesn't want to know more?
Exactly. And so I clicked the box, and then a few months later, I got an email that said, hey, you check this box, and if you want to do this, you know, bring alpine skis and a helmet and come out to the ski jumps on Saturday. And so I asked my boys, do you want to check this out? And so they said, yep. And we came out, and they went off the jumps once, and they were hooked.
Oh, wow. I mean, I can imagine. And are they like the type of kids who always want to do like crazy stuff? I mean, is that the adventurous types?
You know, they really aren't. They're not these kind of risk taker kids. Uh-huh. They're more, you know, thoughtful and cautious. And, you know, the sport attracts all different kinds of kids. You know, it's a safe place for risk taking. If you have a kid who's like that, but it also is a sport of gradual progression, and it's highly technical. And so if you're more of a thinking athlete and that's your bag, then this also is a sport for you. And the coaches, how they nurture the kids and start them on the smallest jump and move them up is highly appealing to these kids who aren't necessarily risk takers, because they bring them along gradually.
So they may not be risk takers, but they are risk achievers and risk conquerors after they do this.
Yeah, it's I like to call it the three C's of ski jumping. It's a sport that builds courage, confidence, and then character, because you have to have courage to go off a ski jump. And it's fascinating as a parent to watch my kids, especially when they were first starting out, to know that they were scared, to find it inside of themselves to conquer that fear and to stand up off the bar and go off a ski jump, literally flying off into the unknown for the first time. And once they did it, and they did it successfully, then it built their confidence, and then they do it over again, and eventually, you know, they're a different kid. And that's the character building aspect of this sport. And I believe that this sport is unique in that way, because there aren't that many sports where you have to have this level of courage just to even do the sport, you know? So maybe you don't find that on a baseball diamond or a soccer field or a swimming pool, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And a certain level of courage to have your kid do it, I would think, as well. Watch them fly through the air.
It's interesting to be down here with the moms and dads watching their kids the first time. And, you know, your heart starts to beat a little faster, but you think, okay, well, we'll see if they're going to do it. And, you know, the parents are as exuberant about it, and they are as excited when their child goes off the first time as the kid is. And so it's really, I think the parents start to learn, hey, this is changing my kid in some really positive ways.
Yeah, this sounds so cool. Let's walk over there and see what they're up to.
Hi, my name is Hugo Compton.
Yeah, so how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 6 years now.
And you're up to, how long have you been jumping off the biggest jump?
I've been jumping on the biggest hill for about 3 to 4 years.
Was there a fear factor that you had to overcome? Because I'm just standing here at the bottom of the jump looking at the landing area, and it's already, it's like a sizable hill, even if, like, if you're just skiing down this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's hard moving up from jump to jump, and it's I've struggled with the fear for quite a few years, and I know it's a lot of kids struggle with it too, and it's just kind of part of the sport.
Uh-huh. Do you still feel it, or are you like, now it's all hat?
I still feel it, because every jump you try to change little parts of your technique, and that can still make it scary, even if you're uh-huh. used to jumping the same hill for years.
Because you're going, it's like as fast as a car coming down this thing, right? Like,
yeah, pretty really much fast. Up to 40 miles per hour, yeah. Uh-huh.
What's the workout like? Because, I mean, you are climbing up this hill over and over again. It must help you keep in shape.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of aerobic activity in the sport, at least at our facilities, because we have to walk up every jump. But there are some other facilities around the country and in Europe that have chairlifts and stuff like that. But unfortunately, since we don't have that, we have to walk up. But that's uh-huh. I guess that's good, because we get some good exercise.
Yeah. Do you do a lot of skiing other than jumping?
Yeah. I also cross-country ski, and I downhill ski.
Uh-huh. So you guys spend a lot of time at this, right? So this must be like your group of friends is here at the jump doing this all the time?
Yeah, so we just finished, completing our summer facility, so it's ready to jump year-round. So now we're here all the time. We rarely take breaks, except for in the spring and when fall transitions to winter and we're waiting for snow to come. So yeah, uh-huh. we're here all the time with our friends, and we just jump year-round and get to compete together.
So do you have a goal in terms of where you want to end up with this sport? I mean, do you want to be one of those guys that we see in the Olympics, or is that like just you just enjoy doing it and so whatever happens?
Well, I think the Olympics are a little bit out of my own reach, but I know that there's a lot of other little Alaskan kids who will end up there someday, and I'm just uh-huh. excited for them. Being one of kind of the oldest kids here uh-huh. since this program has started, it's been great watching all of them improve and get better, and I'm really excited to see where they end up. But for now, I'm just looking forward to Junior Nationals and doing my best there before I graduate.
Uh-huh. Cool. Thanks, Hugo.
Yeah.
So tell me about the first time you saw your kids go off a ski jump. Were you like, were you nervous?
I was nervous. I felt like, you know, my heart was racing a little bit, and they were crying. And so I felt bad for them, because I would never make them do it, but I could sense this conflict that they had inside of themselves. They wanted to do it, and yet they were scared to do it. And so I was willing them to go off, and then at the same time thinking, oh, well, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but then they went off. I knew they would be fine. But they went off, landed it, and then they couldn't get their skis off fast enough, and they were running up the hill to do it again, and they stayed until practice was over, and the coach was locking up and wanted to go home. So I knew that they loved it, and they said, we want to do this. You know, I would come here every day if I could. Uh-huh. And that's when I thought, all right, well, sign you up.
Yeah. So is this the jump they went off, this one over here?
Well, that's a new one now. Uh-huh. We've rebuilt that whole
I mean, it's pretty,
jump,
you call it the small jump, but it's pretty damn big, actually.
It is. You know, the thing that's scary about ski jumping is that when you're at the top of the jump, ready to go off, you can't see where you land. They sort of disappear.
Wow.
And that's because the landing hill is so steep. And then you all of a sudden see them shoot out. You know, on the outrun, which is the field at the bottom. And there's that whole part where that's missing, that unless you're standing on the other side of the ski jump, you can see them come the whole way. But if you're up at the top, you can't see where you land. So it truly is a leap of faith. Another kind of misconception about ski jumping is that people think that they're flying way up in the air, but the takeoff of a ski jump, the in run, which is what people commonly refer to as the ski jump, like the actual ramp they ski down, the takeoff is ever so slightly down. It doesn't pitch them up in the air. Mm. And so when you watch a ski jumper fly through the air, they're only a few feet off the ground. The other misconception is that, you know, they might go inverted or something like that. They don't, you know, the hill falls away as they progress through space. Also, it's very difficult to stay in the air. The whole point of ski jumping is to go as far as you can, and that takes years of practice and perfect technique. Uh-huh. And so for any parent out there who's thinking, oh, I think my kid might like to do that, but I'm worried to have my, you know, son or daughter flying through the air way high up in the air, they hardly get any air at all when they start out.
Because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, because they don't know how to do it. Yeah.
So there's a ton of skill involved. I mean, you think when you watch it on TV, it looks like they're just being hurled off into space. But actually, there's a ton of skill to get it to work.
Yes. And, you know, what people also don't realize with our ski jumps in particular is that they don't always... The two jump towers, the 40 meter and the 65, stick up high, and so they're very visible from the area around them. And they don't necessarily see our beginner jumps. And so people ask me all the time, how do you teach kids to go off that?
Right.
I think people think that kids show up and we huck them off the, you know, like the 40 meter ski jump, which we do not do. And it's a very slow progression. They start off just by skiing the landing hill. They don't even go on the ski jump first. And so it really is possible. And we've done it over and over again to move kids up through all of the levels of the ski jump.
And it sounds like your kids are at the top jump now.
Yep. They've been on the 65 meter for years, and they've jumped several 90 meter jumps that elsewhere in Canada and the U.S.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so, Karen, have you done this too? I mean, you must have.
No, I have never gone off a ski jump.
Yo, you're kidding.
No, not even the 10 meter here. Not even the smallest one.
Nope. You're chicken?
Yes. I would keep my feet on the ground.
That's so funny. And you're the director of the program.
I know. It's kind of ironic. People assume I did it growing up. I did not. I was just a mom whose kids wanted to do it, and the program was failing. And I thought, well, you know, let's try to turn it around and give opportunity to all the kids in town.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's quite a climb up there, isn't it?
It is. It's, you know, it's...
In the hot sun.
They do get hot in the summer. And so, but other places, you know, we just got back from a week in Park City. It's 90 degrees at those ski jumps. I mean, it is. They get very hot.
This year-round ski jumping is like everywhere then? It's just a standard thing?
Yeah, we were behind the power curve on that because not every jumping facility has the... infrastructure for summer jumping, but if they don't, they're within driving distance of a place that does. And we're isolated up here. And so we were trying to fly kids down in the summer to get extra jumping, and it's just very expensive, and it's not fair to families who just don't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were lucky to get the funds in order to put this up here.
I can hear the water is starting to run.
Yes. So we have sprinklers that get the plastic on the landing hills wet. And then on the steel tracks that are on the jump in runs, we have PVC pipe going down the middle with like produce sprayers almost, like in the produce department, those little misters. And that keeps the track wet. And the skis can then slide on the track and on the plastic landing hill. And they use the same skis that they use on snow.
Do you want to walk up there while we talk?
Sure.
We'll probably be huffing and puffing.
Yeah, we will be.
So some kids are going up each jump, it looks like.
Yes, we have kids on every single jump. Most of our kids are on the biggest number of kids are on the small jumps, obviously. Uh-huh. And then they slowly work their way up. But it can take years, although some kids are... You know, if you're really talented, you could probably make it up to the 40 within 1 year. One of my sons spent 3 years on the smallest jump.
Huh.
So it just depends. It's very individual.
It looks like this must have cost a lot of money to build this thing.
Well, the jumping facility was here. Obviously, mm-hmm. Carl Ide built that in the 80s.
Okay.
And so all we did was get the money to put the plastic on and the tracks, and we had to rebuild our small jumps. And so I would say we put in kind and just straight up cash, we put probably $500,000 into it.
Wow.
But to build this facility brand new today, it'd be millions and millions of dollars. We're so lucky to have it.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So how did it come about back in the 80s that it got built?
Well, there used to be jumps all over town. There were jumps in...
I know back, like way back, there was a jump down in Ship Creek area.
Yeah, that was 100 years ago. So when they're still living in tents in Ship Creek, they built a ski jump, which is so funny.
Tells you something about Anchorage, doesn't
it? Yeah, like they love this sport. Then there were jumps at APU when it was AMU.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then those, there were some other little jumps around. And then we had, I think there might have been a ski jump on Westchester Lagoon. But when they tore down the AMU or APU jump, that's when this place was built.
Uh-huh.
But they also were considering putting these jumps out at Kincaid Park for a while, which a lot of people don't know.
Well, that would make sense. There's a lot of skiing out there.
I'm glad they didn't because it's too windy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it needs to be still. That makes sense.
Yes. Especially when you're going off the big jump, it'll blow you sideways.
Wow.
And so that's
scary.
Dangerous. Yeah, they have a wind hold. And so
it's quite a long way up here.
It is. It's kind of fun. I mean, this is a city park with a really specialized use for ski jumping, but lots of people come out and walk the steps, which is nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Neat. Whoops.
Oop, careful.
So how did you raise the money for this? I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, we had tons of in-kind donations, mostly in services. We got money from the legislature back when there was money, and we had private donations and grants from foundations.
Do you have to spend a lot of money to maintain this facility?
It's expensive. We do mostly everything, well, we do everything with volunteer work. And then we'll try to get materials donated, and then try to keep it up. It's hard. It's probably the biggest challenge for every ski jumping club.
This is a new challenge of doing an interview while climbing like hundreds of steps. How many steps is it from the bottom to the top?
I think it's something like 125.
Okay.
Or 130. I know. It's like, this is just the landing hill.
I know. We're not even up to where they take off yet.
Yes.
The bottom of where they take off.
Yeah.
It's
Do you
amazing.
Want to go all the way up to the
sure.
top? You want to go on the jump?
To jump, you mean? No.
I don't think... just to watch?
Sure.
Okay.
I want to talk to some jumpers, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Alexander Mendenhall.
So, how long have you been doing this?
I think I've been doing it around 4 years.
And how did you get into it exactly?
We had a German exchange student, and he could not find a sport, and we already knew the Comptons, and so we suggested that he try ski jumping, and he got me into it. So I'm really happy that he did.
Did you like it right away?
So at that point, we only had a 15-meter, and the first time I went off the 15-meter, I crashed, and I got really freaked out. And so then...
Not a good start, huh?
No, but then I think... I took a little break, and then I rejoined, and now I'm fine. I really like it, and I really enjoy it.
What makes you want to do it?
I guess, like, all my teammates, they're all really nice, and then it's a really fun sport. It's something where you can push your boundaries, and you can explore new things, because it really takes a lot of confidence going down a big jump.
Yeah, I guess it does. It's because, you're so high up in the air, right? Do you feel scared when you do it?
Sometimes I feel scared, but, there's always that bit of nervousness right before you're about to go down the jump, but yeah.
But that could be kind of thrilling, too, right?
Yeah, it can. It definitely can.
So where would you like to take this? Do you have goals for it or just doing it for fun?
I want to try and get to Junior Nationals because right now I'm on the 40, so I'm hoping that maybe once fall comes, I'll maybe move on to the 60. Uh-huh. And then once Junior Nationals this year, I can maybe take part in that. So that's my long-term goal for it. Not that long-term, but that's what my goal is right now.
Yeah, cool. And how old are you now?
I'm 13.
Oh, my gosh. So you've got some time left.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
Like, there can't be too many 13-year-olds who are, like, going to Junior Nationals, right?
No. I'm actually one of the oldest girls I have. There's a girl who, she's just leaving to go to Germany, but she was 16, and so she was on the 60, so we were the friends, and then up on the big jumps, and I guess we're the only two girls on the big jumps, and now I'm the only girl because she left.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. We're spending this hour talking about ski jumping, and I have a guest in the studio who has spent quite a bit of his life jumping, starting outside in Michigan, and now he's ski jumping coach for the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage. Zach Hamill's with us. Thanks for being here, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Charles.
Let's just start with the terror factor because, we've all seen the agony of defeat, right? And this huge jump. And it looks like it would be scary just to ski down that thing, much less to go flying huge distance through the air. And obviously, you've done it. You've competed at the national level. Do you still feel fearful when you're actually doing it, when you're good at it? Or does that sort of go away?
It definitely goes away. Yeah, the agony of defeat was something that took the American's eye and said ski jumping is dangerous and terrifying. And back in the 70s and the 80s, it was a lot more dangerous. But in the last 20, 25 years, they've made improvements to the hills, to the equipment to actually make this sport really safe. The hills are engineered for safety, whereas when that video came out, the agony of defeat, that jump wasn't necessarily designed for safety. There wasn't any tracks on the jump itself. Now we have guided tracks to keep the skis in. The sport has changed quite a bit. As far as the fear factor goes, it definitely goes away. When you first get into it, it's intimidating, looking at those jumps, especially looking at the bigger jumps, it's very intimidating. But the progression is really slow, and you start really, really, really small. And, yeah, when you do move up to bigger jumps, it's nerve-wracking, to say the least. But the progression leads you to the jumps when you're ready. We have coaches saying that, hey, you're ready to go to the next jump. It's not just free-for-all out there.
Right.
So by the time these kids get to bigger jumps, they are physically capable of doing it, and then it's just mentally letting go of that bar and actually skiing it.
But yeah, and from your perspective as somebody who's done this, I guess if you get beyond the fear, then you get this pleasure of flying through the air a huge distance, right? I
mean, yeah.
That must feel good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Even when you do have that fear still, it's so exhilarating to get out into the air and like actually start to fly. It's so there's really no better feeling in the world. And then just learning to control the fear is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, while I'm flying, I think I'd be worried about landing.
Yeah, you take it step by step for sure. You let go of the bar and then you're in the tracks and you're thinking as you're picking up speed, you're thinking about the approach to the takeoff. And then when you get to the takeoff, it's making that move into the air, and then it's flying, and you do get, a brief, depending on what size hill you're on, you'll get up to, 8 seconds in the air. Wow. And then when it comes time to land, yeah, you're definitely like, okay, it's time to put out the landing gear and get back on the ground.
Uh-huh. So when you're at this, competing at the national level, you're doing the 60, is it called the 60-meter jump, the biggest jump, or the...
Yeah, the biggest jump we have up here is a 65-meter jump, which is actually a pretty good junior national level.
Okay.
National athletes will use that to train, but when you're up competing nationally and internationally, it's more of a 90 and 120.
Wow.
So we travel out of state.
And that's the distance when the number is like the distance from that from where you take off to where you land, basically.
Exactly, yeah. So it's the distance from the takeoff to where the hill starts to flatten out at the bottom, called the K point. So from the takeoff to 65 meters down the hill is actually is becoming steeper or sustaining that angle. Mm-hmm. And then at 65 meters, it actually starts to flatten out.
So it would 65 be sort of the maximum jump or sort of a minimum?
Nope. So the idea is to go as far as you can and land safely. So as the mm-hmm. hill starts to get flatter, it's harder to land.
I see.
But you definitely want to go past 65 meters. Like a really far jump on that hill would be 70, 71 meters. And then, you know, like a safe jump would be not necessarily safe, but like a very easy landing would be at 65.
I see.
60, yeah, definitely.
So, and when you're in the air, is it really like flying? I mean, you can really control your flight by your body position and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we work on, a lot of the technique we work on is on the takeoff, so you can go further, but then when mm-hmm. you're actually in the air and you're doing the flying, so to speak, it totally feels like flying. There's a bunch of air pressure underneath your skis and on your body, and you can adjust your body position, your skis to, if you really wanted to, you could steer, but the idea is to go far, so you're not trying to really turn. You're just trying to keep all your energy going forward. But yeah, you definitely feel like you're flying.
That's amazing. It must be kind of addictive. I guess it was for you because you had a pretty good career in the sport.
Yeah, it's totally addictive. It's you get out there, you start to ski bigger hills. You know, you start small at first, and there's a pretty big learning curve to it. But once you get on those bigger hills and you're comfortable, it's totally addicting. You get to like a 90 or 120, and it's so much fun. When we travel out of state with these kids, they get to ski bigger hills, and you can just see how excited they are when they ski them.
So are you a pretty avid downhill skier, like aside from jumping?
Yeah, I get out, and since I've moved up here, a lot of backcountry skiing, a little bit of resort skiing, but yeah, I really just enjoy being on skis.
Do you try to get some air when you're out just skiing for regular, or is that sort of safe for the jump?
Yeah, a little bit of both, but I definitely like the big air, safe for the jump. It's, I really like that controlled aspect of what ski jumping brings.
Yeah,
knowing like having like the variables controlled is nice. It's definitely in my mind a lot more dangerous to be like at Alyeska or even backcountry mm-hmm. skiing and hitting like cliffs or jumps and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you see people doing stuff that you think, there's a lot of unknowns that they're like trusting in when they're doing that just out at the resort.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Ski jumping doesn't really, I know it looks super dangerous and super scary, but those unknowns are taken away just by the way we engineer the hills mm-hmm. and by how we prepare them. So that's.
Yeah. Nice. Well, let's get into that a little bit. I mean, you mentioned these tracks. So instead of just skiing down and like, you know, being in control of what you're doing on a side to side way, your skis are sort of in tracks, and you don't really have to worry about that. Is that right?
Yep. So in the summer, so we ski jump in the summer as well. In the summer, it's a stainless steel track that gets watered constantly, and they're solid. You can't. I mean, there's really no way to come out of them unless you were to pick your foot up and step out of it.
Oh wow!
And then in the winter, we we'll snow the in-runs, we'll cut a track in them, and then we'll water them to ice it, so it's super solid.
Oh wow!
Again, preventing like any ski from coming out of the tracks. Uh-huh.
And so then you get to this launch point, and do you actually leap when you hit that spot?
Yeah, so it is called ski jumping, so there's like a jumping aspect.
You're not just
to it.
Being launched.
Right,
yeah,
and that's another misconception with the sport is people think we're going off these big booters when actually those takeoffs, they hang. They're not angled up. They're not even zero. They actually hang at like 10 degrees.
Really?
So you by jumping and using your technique on the takeoff, create how far you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you were to just ride off, which a lot of people do when they're first starting, they'll just ride off. They'll only go, you know, to be in the air for maybe a second, maybe a half a second, and they'll only go, like, even on the 60, if you just ride off that, you only go 20, 25 meters maybe.
Mm. And then where you would land is already angled down, so it would just be like you just ski the rest of the way down.
Yep.
Yeah. So tell me how this summer ski jumping thing works, because it seems pretty counterintuitive that you could do this in the summer. like how much water has to come down there? Is it like water, like you're floating on top of a bed of water, or how does it work?
So summer ski jumping in my mind is awesome, and now that we have an anchorage, it's a huge benefit for our ski club. The way it works is, like we said before, there's stainless steel tracks that have constant little spritzing sprinklers spraying the tracks, and then the landing hill is covered in artificial surface. It's a plastic material laid down like kind of like shingles, basically. And it looks like spaghetti. And then we have another water system on there, and we'll turn on at the beginning of the practice. I'll turn on the water. I'll water the landing hills for, you know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes on each hill, and then turn them off, and then we'll ski on that. And as long as it's not super sunny and hot out, we can just ski on that the whole.
So it just holds the water in that material.
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing.
It doesn't necessarily like hold the water. It just like it stays wet.
Dampness is adequate for you to just to have a small enough amount of friction that you just slide over it.
Exactly. Yep.
So you must use a special ski, or do you just use a regular ski?
Regular ski jumping ski. There's no edges on those skis. They're very long for like a jumper my size, 5'8" or so. You'd be on a pair of skis that'd be like 8.5 feet long and like 4 inches wide. But yeah, no edges because, again, there's no turning, you know, it's just going straight. And then once you exit after you land and you ski out, you ski on the grass to slow you down.
Huh. So at the top, is the water just constantly pouring down?
Yep. Yeah. I see. But it's just like very, very light amount of water just to keep like the metal, lubricated.
So is the friction or the speed similar to what it would be in the wintertime on ice?
Yeah, it's very similar. Actually, we just this last winter, because of kind of changing weather, we started using our steel tracks in the winter as well, just because trying to snow those in-runs is a lot of work, and then when it does warm up, they melt. So we've kind of transitioned to using that stainless steel track in the winter. We'll see, you know, if that's something we continue to do, but yeah, it's definitely something that we're looking into.
Well, I guess that's a climate change thing, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking about ski jumping today. My guest is Zach Hamill. He's a coach with the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage, teaching kids to jump on those ski jumps, which are out on Abbott Road at the Hilltop Ski Area. It's called the Carl Ide Ski Jump Complex.
Yep.
And it's been recently improved. We're going to hear more about that later in the show, so that they can jump winter and summer and kind of turn Anchorage into a ski jumping center and start producing more kids, more athletes who can do this sport. And I guess we have a pretty good record. What was the name of that jumper who was a really Olympic phenomenon who was from here? Alborn?
Yep, Alan Alborn.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he did he learn on those exact same jumps?
Yeah, yes, he did.
Okay, cool. So tell me about teaching kids to do this. What ages do you start with?
Our program, we usually have kids at about 5 years old. So our program, we see from 5 to our oldest right now is probably 18. And then we also have like adult ski jumping. So that can be anywhere from, you know, 20 to 65, really. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the kids are awesome. It's such a fun sport to coach because you do have that fear factor. And watching kids like overcome that fear is awesome. So I focus more up on the two bigger hills, and then our small hills coach Natasha Mattoon deals with our 10 and 20 meter. So she gets to kind of see more of like that first glance at ski jumping. But yeah, it's really fun just to see the progression that they go through, and the challenges that they overcome really is awesome to see.
Are the little ones the most adaptable? I mean, it seems like if you see them on an alpine hill, sometimes they'll just be like totally fearless in very little time.
Yeah, the kind of crazy thing is people always come to me and they say, oh, my kid's fearless. He's going to be the greatest ski jumper ever. And really, like maybe, but also kids that do have fear, they do just as well. You know, I was one of those kids that I was super terrified to ski jump.
Really?
But stuck with it. And then by the time I was like 12 or 13, I finally got comfortable. I overcame that fear. And then things really, really took off for me. So it isn't just a sport for daredevils. It every kid has a chance to be a ski jumper.
And what are the benefits of the sport? I mean, I mean, I guess you're climbing up the hill, but it's not like super like aerobic exercise, right? I mean, it's more of a balance sport, right?
So you do have to walk up the hill. That's one thing. But just being like with any sport, really being in shape, athletic is key because your performance on the jump reflects how in shape you are. But I think a lot of the benefits are like the mental gains that you'll see in the sport. Again, just overcoming that fear and then figuring out how to dial yourself in, because and everything happens so quick. Up on the bigger hills, you're traveling upwards of, on our biggest jump, maybe 40, 45 miles an hour. And then on the 90 and 20, you're traveling up to 60 miles an hour. So everything's happening really, really quick. So mentally, you have to be dialed in. You have to have full body awareness to excel.
Yeah. Do you do like weight training and gym work to get everybody sort of like up where they can really handle the forces involved and stuff?
Yeah. So we have a progressional program where with the younger kids, they'll have like one day in the summer of dryland training. But then with the older kids with me, there's all kinds of dryland training to improve strength, plyometrics used to increase like your ability to jump further or higher. Flexibility is big. Just kind of like any other skiing discipline, you see, a lot of dryland training.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everybody's also skiing, just like Nordic skiing, downhill skiing, because you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't like to ski, I would think.
Yeah. As a coach, I definitely promote like multi-sport approach. I don't think kids should specialize in a sport right away. So I think getting out in Nordic skiing and alpine skiing, playing soccer, playing football is great for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for their ski jumping as well.
Yeah. So it must you were talking about seeing them develop. How long does it take a kid to sort of develop into this sport, get beyond just sort of the newbie phase into where they're getting pretty good at? Does it take a winter or...
So every kid is different. There's been kids who, it takes like 2 years and they're up on the big jump, or there's kids that take, 5 to 6 years to make it all the way up to the big jump. So every kid's different, which is kind of fun, a little bit more interesting, more dynamics you have to deal with. A lot of it's like keeping the kids positive. If they aren't, making it to the bigger jumps right away, well, their friends might be. Because again, like I remember I was one of those kids who I struggled to get to the bigger hills, but... Eventually I did, and then sticking with it made a big difference.
And what holds them back? Is it like you're saying, the fear factor, or is it also sort of developing sort of some skills, or what tells you that a kid is ready to move on?
We kind of look at technique on the hill. So those two smaller hills show us a lot where we try to develop these good ski jumping habits technically, so that they're sound to move up to the bigger hills. Because once you get up to like a 40 meter ski jump, you're starting to fly a little bit. You're starting to get some more air underneath your skis. And if you're not ready, then that's when the sport potentially could get dangerous. If you send a kid off a new jump and they're just not ready, but if they have those basic skis,
because they could crash basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a long way down.
It is, and we occasionally do see crashes out there, but they're never as bad as people think. It's one of those sports where you might fall, but your energy is always staying. It's always moving, so it's not like you're jumping out of a building.
Yeah.
You might take a little tumble, but you're always like going down. Your energy is staying with the hill. You're not going to run into any trees or anything like
right,
that.
Right. Right. I would think if you fall on that artificial turf, you probably get to lose some skin.
Yeah. So we do wear protective suits in the summer and winter, and that those suits protect you from the burns. But again, it's like if you do fall on that, the biggest disadvantage is you end up really wet because your suit absorbs a bunch of water.
Yeah, sure.
But other than that, we've had those jumps now for the last two summers with plastic on it. And a lot of little minor spills on the small hills, but up on my end on the bigger hills, I can't think of one notable crash that we've had.
Do you still do quite a bit of jumping yourself?
Yeah, I want to get the chance. I thoroughly enjoy putting my skis on and taking some jumps. But it seems like few and far between now, I guess, on special days. But every time I do, I just get reminded how awesome the sport is and why I'm still involved in it.
Yeah, I could see the attraction. So when you're you're watching these kids, and then you're sort of like saying, well, I'll try it a little bit more like this, and then they go and do it again. That's essentially what the kind of different coaching from some sports, because you just a moment when you need to be watching them, right? And sort of like quick pick up really quick what they're doing right or doing wrong.
Yeah, so I think it's like on the biggest jump, it's maybe like a 8 to 10 second window from when they leave the bar until they're down. And we focus on the jump itself. There's a certain position that we're focusing on. And the takeoff is the biggest thing. So figuring out how to dial in their takeoff is the biggest thing we coach on. Flying is really simple to coach. It's really, really pretty basic, honestly. And then landing is another aspect. But the biggest thing is like that position coming down the ramp and then getting to the takeoff, that super quick, precise movement that we coach.
And what is that movement? Is it leaping, essentially?
Yeah, so the idea is you're trying to maintain all the speed that you have coming down the ramp and also generate height by actually jumping. So basically, you want to jump forward, but not, you know, you don't want to dive, so to speak. You just want to make sure that you're like creating effect going in the right direction while, you know, jumping.
And without that, you have to do that in order to really fly.
Yeah. To go 65 meters on a 65 meter hill requires a good technical takeoff. There's no way you'll get down there without a good technical takeoff.
Interesting. That's neat. So talking to Zach Hamill, who's a ski jumping coach for the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage on Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. Zach, tell me about you. You grew up not here in Alaska, but in Michigan. Tell me why you got into this in the first place. I mean, what was the attraction for you?
Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, and when I was in elementary school, my sister came home with a school flyer that said, learn to ski jump. We have a pretty famous ski jump in my hometown. We have a 120-meter ski jump, and we had some small junior hills there. So I my sister was going to this, and I tagged along. And, I guess for me, the rest is history. Like I said before, I was a pretty bad junior ski jumper, but, like, sticking with it was big. And
so what age were you when you first tried it?
I was 7.
So it shows a certain determination that if you're doing something at 7 that you were scared of, that you stayed with it, right? Most kids would not continue doing it.
I think I took like one winter off, probably because I was discouraged because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't excelling at it. But then I came right back to it the next winter, and yeah, things really took off for me personally.
Yeah, and so how did this transfer into a competitive career?
So then my parents are awesome, along with a couple other parents in our program. We drove around all around the Midwest pretty much every weekend for a ski jumping tournament. And then once we discovered summer ski jumping, it was pretty much every weekend in the summer. So my parents were super dedicated. They drove my sister and I and a couple other kids, along with some other families, around the Midwest. And then the progression led to traveling nationally. So then we started to travel to Utah and Lake Placid. And then eventually...
This is at the junior level, or this is when you're... So
we went to Park City a couple times at a junior level. I qualified for junior nationals a couple times, which led me to Park City, to Colorado, out east. And then eventually I got named to like a national development team. And at the time I graduated high school, I moved to Lake Placid, New York, and then spent some time in Park City, Europe, or Park City, Utah, and then traveled to Europe for competitions.
And is that is similar to like Nordic World Cup or Alpine World Cup, where you're sort of traveling around the world with other skiers and trying to make points and that kind of thing? Or?
Yep. So we have there's like a FIS Cup level, there's a Continental Cup level, and there's a World Cup level. So we
travel. It's a really big deal in Europe, right?
Yeah, it's huge. Ski jumping is like American football here. You know, like I remember the first time I got to go to Europe, I was 14, and we were in Poland, and we jumped in Polish nationals. There's 10,000 people there in this small little town in Poland, and it was eye-opening for me to see coming from a small town in Michigan.
Yeah, and I guess that's maybe why we don't always do all that well in international competitions, is because it's such a big focus in those countries, right? And here, it's really a small kind of subculture.
Yeah, they seem to have more of a skiing culture there, but I, being around like the national level, we were just on Park City, Utah. Our organization is trying to develop that culture, and they're doing a really good job. So I we're definitely starting to see better results on an international level, which is exciting. And then our club here too is seeing better results at national competitions because of the plastic and because of the training that the kids are getting. So it's really exciting to see.
Yeah, I can see that in a few years we probably will be have a lot of famous jumpers because there's so much effort being put into it. I remember a few years ago the national Nordic combined coach came, and Nordic combined is a sport where you ski a Nordic race and you jump, and the two sort of the scores add up essentially from the two events, and we did really well in the last Olympics in Nordic combined. And I asked him, well, how many people are doing this sport in the country? And it's like maybe 100, you know, it's just incredibly tiny numbers. If you wanted to go to the Olympics, that would be a great way to do it, right?
Yeah.
To get good at that sport.
Totally, yeah. Nordic combined numbers are coming around for sure. And then this state in general is like, it potentially could become a Nordic combined hub for this country, especially now with the jumping facility we have and already the Nordic programs that we have around town. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. You know, we're already seeing the younger kids in our ski club very, very competitive at a national level, so it's really, really exciting for us.
Yeah. So how many kids are you working with in terms of your whole ski jumping program?
So we have, I think right now we probably have about 45 kids registered for the summer, and then in the winter that number seems to jump up to about 60 to 65. Mm-hmm. So I see probably about half of them. I mean, I see them all, but I specifically coach maybe a little bit less than half because we have more on the smaller hills.
And who can get involved? Just anybody who wants to sign up?
Yeah, so yeah, we encourage anybody to sign up, really, anywhere from if your kid's 5 to any age, really. You just mm-hmm. go on Nordic Skiing Association's website and then sign up for one of the sessions. And yeah, we provide all the equipment, which is awesome, because it's obviously hard to find ski jumping skis and suits and boots and stuff.
So, and we'll have that website on ours at outdoorexplorer.org. Is it, do the family pay for like a session, or do they pay by the jump, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you pay by the session. I believe it's really similar to Junior Nordic or any other program that NSAA has.
Pretty reasonable cost, and there's probably like a scholarship if you can't afford it.
Yeah, totally reasonable, yeah.
And what about the adult program? I mean, if adult listeners are listening and thinking, well, I've watched this on the Olympics, I want to be able to do that. What's involved in an adult getting into this?
Pretty much similar as a kid. You know, if you have the drive to want to try it, again, we have the equipment. I believe it's cheaper for adults. And we encourage the adults to help us like groom the hills or whatnot. Uh-huh. But yeah, any adult can try it. So if you've ever seen it on the Olympics and you're like, oh man, on my bucket list is ski jumping. Yeah, uh-huh. Come on and
have try. Have you had some people who've come out and really gotten into it and stuck with it? Because I would think it would take a while to get to where you have the skill that you can really do it on the big time, right?
Yeah, we've definitely had a couple parents or just adults in general that have come out. And I know last winter we sent two of them off the big hill, which was super exciting. You know, it was. Mm-hmm. I know one parent was a junior jumper growing up, and then stop for whatever reason, but they're one of their things on their bucket list was to go off the 65 meter ski jump, and he did that last winter.
Wow. I think that would be like have a party after that, right?
Yeah,
that's
pretty
such
much
an accomplishment. Yeah, right,
totally.
But I would think that, I mean, for most people, I mean, it would take quite a while, quite a bit of work to get to where you're at that level. So that's something where you could just jump into it, and so to speak. And
yeah, they go through the whole progression, like the younger kids, mm-hmm. or like everybody, you know, you start really small, and most of them come with a skiing background, which helps a lot.
Yeah, of course.
But and then once.
And it's just sort of like a weekly class or a couple of weeks of class or something?
Yeah, so summer and winter are different, but we meet like 4 times a week, and I believe both summer and winter we meet 4 times a week.
Oh, that's quite a commitment.
Yeah, you don't have to come. You know, we're a really, really relaxed program uh-huh. where it's like, hey, come when you can. We're really understanding of that. And, uh-huh. The first idea that we have out there is to have fun. You know, it's mm-hmm. not everybody needs to be a national team athlete. It's like we have a great community out there. And the bottom line is we just have fun.
That's so cool. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Zach Hamill, ski jumping coach for Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage. Thanks for being here, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Stay with us as Outdoor Explorer continues. What's happening?
So he just called for clear, and now he's going down the jump.
Wow.
Yeah. Then he disappears.
You can't see
him. And then he reappears.
Oh, and he's skiing right across the grass.
Yes. And so you'll see in the summer they have to use a little bit different technique at the bottom, where when they transition from plastic to grass, they have to sit down because it is a Nordic discipline and their heels are free. Well. And so they'll, when they hit the grass, it's slower than the plastic, and so they'll fly forward like a fly swatter. And so they need to counterbalance that by sitting down.
That's definitely our most common like little crash you'll see, is when they land and they ski onto the grass. They sometimes they get excited that
tumble
they made
over.
It down, and they'll hit the grass and they'll kind of Superman a little bit, but in that suit they're totally fine. You know, at that point they're going slow enough that it's not that big of a deal. So
I think it's one thing I tell parents too is that, you know, everybody falls. Your child will fall. And that's just part of the learning process of this sport. Luckily, with ski jumping, the falls are not generally spectacular like alpine ski racing or whatever. You're not cartwheeling down the hill. It's more they tip over, like they lose their balance, they tip over, and then they skid down.
But, I mean, you're way up high in the air, right? I mean, if you fall from high in the air, then you certainly bad things happen to you.
But you're never really that far off the ground.
Okay.
Because the landing hill, the jumps are engineered for safety.
And when you're flying, you're kind of flying parallel to this downhill slope.
Yeah, you're skimming, you're right over the ground. Mm-hmm. As the hill falls away, you are falling away as well. Mm-hmm. So the profiles of the hills are all, our hills are all certified by FIS. And they have to be built a certain way so that you aren't, you know, flying out into outer space and, you know, way up high in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nice that they have to walk up, right? Because then they're actually getting some exercise.
Yeah, it actually is really good exercise. And I think, I don't know if Zach said anything, but I think it also builds their leg strength, because you do need to have leg strength to be a decent jumper. And when you push off the takeoff. And so doing all these stairs over and over again helps with that. We're also a little bit unique, where most other clubs and ski jumping facilities either have a lift or they have a road that kids can get a ride up to the top of the jumps. And we're, to my knowledge, one of the only facilities where you have to walk from bottom to top. That's just the way it is. We have no lift. We have no way to drive you up here. You have to walk.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. So is this a sport for like the people who are well off, or is this a sport that sort of anybody could get involved with?
We try to keep our costs low so that we can have as many people get involved as possible. A big barrier to entry that we've eliminated is we provide the ski jumping equipment. You can't buy jumping skis and boots and suits in America.
Huh.
And so that would eliminate most people's ability to participate in the sport. So the club, we raise money, we buy the equipment, and then we rent the equipment for $30 a session, which is a minuscule amount. Yeah.
How much does that stuff cost? It must be incredibly expensive.
For a little kid, which would be all cheaper, skis, boots, suit, helmet, bindings, it would be over $1,000.
Huh.
Yeah. And so it really helps, I think, to have. We've gotten grants from Alaska Ski Educational Foundation that we've matched with private donations. We have an equipment reserve fund that we've set up through NSAA, because it constantly needs to be repaired and replaced. It gets a lot of use, especially with the year-round jumping. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make it more sustainable. But the gear is the big thing, and I think we've eliminated that kind of headache for families.
So I see Zach is getting up on a stand so he can actually watch better. Is that what's happening, or is he going on?
Those are the coaches. Each jump has a coaching stand, and it's situated near the takeoff. And what he's really watching for is their position on the in run, which is what most people would think of as the jump ramp. And then he's watching their position at takeoff and how they move through the air once they leave the jump and start getting in their flight position.
And I see a kid getting in a sort of ungainly way into the tracks up there behind a bar.
They sit on the bar.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they slide out on the bar. Their skis are in the tracks. They check their bindings.
This is when the heart starts to race.
Yes.
Who is that? Can you tell?
I think that's Carter Brubaker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then he waits when he's ready, and then he'll flag with his hand. Yep.
And this is the biggest. This is the biggest. The 60-meter jump.
Yeah, this is a 65-meter jump.
Here he goes. Wow. That is so amazing.
Yeah. What's cool is to stand up here because you can hear the air hit the skis.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do, if anyone's watched ski jumping, they know that the skis are in a V in front of the ski jumper, really supposed to be underneath the ski jumper. And what they're trying to do is make their bodies and their skis an airfoil, like the wing of an airplane, to provide them loft. And you can hear the air coming around the skis. It's like a sound through the air. It's really neat.
It's kind of heart-stopping to watch it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an exciting spectator sport. You know, we always encourage people to come out and watch and, you know.
Do you have competitions here?
We do. We compete against ourselves, and then we travel to compete against other people. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you're kind of like a hockey mom who has to, like, do all this fundraising, travel around. Your whole life is devoted to your kids' athletics, blah, 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 blah.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's what's going on. I never thought it would happen that way, but
okay, I think another one's going to go down. Do you know who this is?
I think this is Gus Compton.
Your son.
That was Hugo.
Oh, my gosh. That is so... It's true what you say about hearing the air against the skis.
Yeah, you can hear that air.
And that's your son.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, make your heart...
Just, no.
Because you're so used to it.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. They have the skills.
Yeah.
And the technique. And they get down safely. I don't get all nervous anymore.
Uh-huh.
I was nervous one time last summer when they were jumping a 90, and it was a gusty day.
Oh,
so they sit on the bar and wait. Zach waits until the wind dies down, and then they flag him, and they know on those windy days when the coach says go, you got to go because the wind has died down right then.
Wow.
So it's safe right now to go.
And what is your goal for this? Are you like thinking, oh, well, someday we'll have all these Olympians, or is it just a great activity for your kids and just whatever happens is good?
Here's Gus.
I hope people can hear that sound. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That sort of gives you a sense of the thrill of it, huh?
Yeah. It's great. So my goal for this program is to make it self-sustaining, right? So that it can continue in the future and not die out like it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strong under Carl Ide, and then, you know, mm-hmm. he got old, and then it kind of died out until recently. So I want to make the program self-sustaining so that there continues to be opportunity for all kids. I think it would be great to have some Olympians
mm-hmm.
come out of the program, not just ski jumping, but also Nordic combined. And but I think the biggest thing is just exposing more kids to the sport and the fact that, you know, it's a transformative thing for these kids. Once you go off a ski jump, I don't think you're ever the same person. And a lot of these kids aren't, you know, probably most of them will never be Olympians or the best or whatever. But what they get out of this sport is something that they can take with them into other areas of their lives. And
just the courage and the all those things he's talked about.
Yes.
Well, great. Thank you so much. This has been so great. Karen Compton with the ski jumping program of the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage, right? That's the name of it.
Yes.
That's it for Outdoor Explorer today. Eric Bork is our producer. Hannah Duro is our assistant producer. My name is Charles Wolforth. I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.